Hi, today's February 4th, 2018, Super Bowl Sunday. This is Mobile Views Podcast 240. I'm Todd Agassiz with my good friend John Westfall. And happy Super Bowl Sunday there, John.
Yep, happy to you. Neither of us are huge football fans, nope. But it does seem like this is a really important thing for a lot of people.
It is indeed. It is indeed. So before we get started with truly technical things, and there's nothing technical in our lineup today. It's a pretty sad week for tech. We did want to mention that John and I have a Super Bowl commercial pick already, even though the game has not yet started as we record this. And it is Amazon's. It's named Alexa Loses Her Voice. It is a great commercial for the Amazon Echo. Did you watch it yet, John? Since it's our pick?
I've watched portions of it. My favorite, and it's a really weird thing to observe, but about middle of last year, a meme came out that had a picture of Jeff Bezos from 1999 versus Jeff Bezos today.
Okay.
And it reads, you know, 1999, I sell books.
Right.
Or 2017, I sell whatever the hell I want.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, so when he makes that appearance at the very beginning of the commercial, it cracked me up because it really is Jeff Bezos, I sell whatever I want.
Yes. And it's so true, right? I mean, and I think as of, you know, last couple of days, I mean, the market pretty much crashed last week. But as of the week before, I should say, he was the richest man in the world.
Yep.
Probably still is, but, you know, that's one of those numbers that changes a lot. Okay, and speaking of A, Amazon, and B, the Super Bowl, let me turn my microphone a little and ask a question of our third guest we have. Alexa, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
The team favored to win is the Patriots. That was tough to get out. But I'm flying with the Eagles on this one because of their relentless defense and the momentum they've been riding off their underdog status. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
All right, I'm sure that ticked off our friends in New England.
Yeah, it probably did. Thanks, Todd. We've now lost 5 of our 10 listeners.
Do you know why? I don't know why. I don't know the answer to this. Do you know why Amazon favors the Eagles? They are an underdog, guys, like a 4.5-point underdog, I think.
I'm not sure.
Is that where the next Amazon headquarters is going to be?
Well, that would be a great conspiracy views. Now, I'm looking to see if there is anyone that's figured out why Alexa wants the Eagles to win, but there's no compelling argument for it.
All right. Well, there you go. So the Amazon Echo is... prefers, I guess is the word, the Eagles to win. I was rooting for the Eagles, if you will, but is going with the point spread on the prediction, which I think is 4.5 points. Okay, now, more Echo stuff. I just happened to run across this article in Quartz that doesn't really surprise me until the end. That's this. So the average Amazon US customer spends about $1,000 a year. Okay, that's actually higher than I thought, but okay, fine. The average Prime member who pays, you know, $99 a year for Amazon Prime, better shipping, blah, blah, unless you live in Hawaii or Alaska, in which case it's kind of a wash, $1,300 a year. But the average Echo owner, $1,700 a year spending on Amazon, 70% more than the average Amazon customer. I found that kind of amazing.
Which is, I no doubt that I am in that range because I buy a lot of things on Amazon, mostly because I live in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But I have never bought a single thing through my Echo.
I have only bought one thing through my Echo, and that's the Echo Dot. And that's because back, for those of you who don't remember, when the Echo Dot first came out, the only way to order it was through your existing Echo. But that is the one and only thing I've ever ordered using the Echo. So I find it, I can't figure it. I mean, unless it's simply not ordering through the Echo, which I don't think this is what they're implying, but it's simply that people who own an Amazon Echo are more likely to buy, period. More disposable income, I don't know what it is. But I found that interesting. 70% over the average Amazon U.S. customer, I should say, U.S. customer.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me too much, but I do wonder how many of those orders are actually placed through the Echo.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. And of course, you know, there are these terrible stories about things being accidentally ordered. And quite frankly, I don't see how you can accidentally order something through an Amazon Echo. It has some pretty good safeguards on it, so you can't do it, basically. Unless you turn off all those safeguards, and I'm not even sure that's possible. Okay, next item. Another kind of a deal kind of thing. And so I got an email Friday, I think. Maybe Thursday. But Friday or Thursday. I got an email from Google saying, hey, Google Home Mini owners, which I am a owner of, you get a free audiobook. You know, Google just started selling audiobooks through its Google Play Store to compete with Audible, which is owned by Amazon. So I took advantage of it, and I bought a book, or got a free book, audiobook, I should say. Let's see if anybody's interested. I got American Gods by Neil Gaiman, which I've been wanting to read, but have never gotten around to. And so, but, you know, Google being Google, it's not obvious how you actually play it back, because they don't actually tell you, you know, either on the site or in the email or whatever. The answer is, so, you know, do you listen to it on the Google Music app, or do you listen to it on the Google Book app? And the answer is you go to the Google Book app. So unlike Amazon, I guess you can listen to audiobooks on the Kindle app, although I never have. I always use the Audible app. Anyway, do you use the same app you use to read an ebook to listen to an audio book? And if you've never bought audiobooks before, the sale prices for the audiobooks are really low. I assume it's a, you know, come on to get people to try their audiobook selection. I've seen like really popular books for, you know, $5, $6, $7.
That is a really good price.
That is a really good price.
Especially when audiobooks, it's not unheard of. I mean, the whole reason why Audible had the subscription model that worked so well is because audiobooks could be $30, $40 for a book.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I have I think I have a gold subscription, so I get all my 12 credits at once at the beginning of my subscription renewal period, and I can spend it throughout the year. So I get, you know, 12 books a year. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see if Amazon puts some kind of subscription model. I'm sorry, Google puts some kind of subscription model together. Maybe tie it in with their Google RedTube thing or some other Google Play thing. I'm not sure. I still haven't listened to books. I don't know what the quality is. I don't know how easy it is to listen to it in the car, that sort of thing. I guess I'll try it soon. I'm going through I've got like an hour left on the book I'm on now in Audible. So after that's done, maybe I'll try the Google Play book app to listen to American Gods by Neil Gaiman.
Very good. Yeah, I haven't listened to a full audiobook in a long time.
Oh, really?
Although I've listened to chapters.
Yeah.
So I have some books that I have in print, and I also have the audiobook of them, and occasionally I'll read some in chapter form in the book, and then I'll listen to some of the audiobook. But audiobooks used to be a very common thing for me. I just kind of tended more toward podcasts in the last few years.
Yeah, yeah. For me, the problem has been that podcasts like ours... I don't know. It's gotten too difficult to listen to sometimes, because people like us wander from the topic. We try not to, by the way. You know, John and I actually have a list of things to talk about, and we generally stay pretty close to it, to try not to wander too far afield into, you know, weird areas and things. But it happens every now and then. Although we're pretty good about keeping a tight time on. Although I did read that people prefer longer podcasts, but basically. I want a podcast to last until longer than ours, I have to admit. I prefer a podcast longer than ours only because I often listen to it on the commute to work. But recently, the commute to work has been so awful that, you know, even the podcasts don't hold my attention enough. So I've been listening to audiobooks on the way in. We had some kind of traffic incident a couple of weeks ago. It took me 2 hours to drive 10 miles.
I thought you were just going to say that lately with the horrible commute, you've been spending a lot of time wirelessly talking to, like, the suicide prevention hotline or something like that. And so, you know, that's been more important than listening to podcasts or audiobooks.
It's been pretty awful. I mean, traffic in Honolulu is awful to begin with. It's amongst the worst in the nation for a commute, if not the worst, despite our relatively short distances here. But anyway, I am going far afield from our normal talk. Next up, another googly item, and that is on February 15th. If you are a Google Chrome browser user, you will have automatic ad blocking turned on. So get ready for that. And there's a there's an entry on controlctrl.blog that talked for about a guy who dug into the source code for Chromium, which is, you know, the basis for the Chrome browser. And he, I think it's a he explains how Chrome or how Google is implementing ad blocking in Chrome. Apparently, they're using the same set of lists, blocking lists, Easy Privacy and Easy List, that is used by uBlock Origin, which is what I currently use. And you might use AdBlock Plus, and you know, there are a couple others. So you can go to the link that I'll provide in our show notes to read about it. But February 15th, you may notice that some ads aren't showing up in on some sites. So there you go. I don't know. John, where do you sit on the ad blocker side? Do you use it? I use it.
You know, I've used it in the past, but I don't use it currently on any of my devices. I kind of oscillate back and forth. And really, it's more if I go to a website that has an intrusive ad, I just don't go back to that website. Ironically, the place where I've seen this most needed is not on the desktop, but on mobile.
Right.
So I've had a variety of situations where I'll click on a link, usually, you know, from social media, I'll go to a web page that's supposed to show me the content, and then the ad is so horribly miscoded that there's no way to actually view the content anymore. Totally, you know, destroys everything. So that's what I'll actually use, an ad blocker through iOS and enable that. When those came out a few years ago, they were very popular. Now you hardly ever hear about them anymore, even though they are still there and still work very well.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. You think people don't care anymore? Or so many people are using it? Or or conversely, only the people who care started using it back then, still use it, and the rest of the people don't care.
Yeah, and I think just because it's such a difficult setup, in a sense, where you have to download it, then you have to go into settings, you have to dig through some menus, enable it. It's not an easy way to just say, hey, download this and hit, you know, hit activate.
Right.
So that could be part of it as well. And there were some fairly good ad blockers that are no longer even offered for sale. So if you got them, you still have them. But if not, I don't know what the current good ad blocker is on iOS.
Yeah, I think the one you're probably thinking about is Marco's, Marco Arment's ad blocker from way back when. That was really pretty good, but then he had a change of heart. He, of course, is ad-supported on some of his stuff, so I think he got some hate mail, too, which is unfortunate, because it was a very good ad blocker. I use it basically to prevent weird stuff from happening. And like you, basically, you know, I'll see a link from a friend, maybe, in, you know, Twitter or something, and I generally would be very hesitant to click on that link. But if I have an ad blocker plus some malware stuff turned on, I feel, well, I should be reasonably safe, you know, and I'm kind of curious about whatever this thing is. So I'll do that. And if I come across sites that I begin to trust and I'll test it, I'll do some A-B testing to see how intrusive their ads are, then I'll turn off the ad blocker for that site on a site basis. So that's how I tend to do things. Basically, I block by default and then I unblock if I think that, you know, I should, that the site is well-behaved and, you know, they should deserve their, you know, to be able to show their advertisements and so forth.
Yep, that's kind of my belief as well. I usually tend to leave them off unless I have a problem that I turn them on.
Okay. Okay, and that's all we have for tech, I think. We have one thing that probably will, I'm kind of interested to hear more about from John.
This is technology related. It's one of those things where I had never really thought about how technology had eclipsed something so fully that we commonly blame it for one part of it, but we don't realize that it took everything else along with it. So yesterday night, Carrie and I watched Mallrats, which is the 1995 film by Kevin Smith, his second film. Not a great film. You're not going to find it in any lists of the best films ever made. You might even find it on lists of the worst films ever made. But one of the things it pointed out was that children of the 70s, 80s hung around in shopping malls quite a bit in the 80s and 90s. Shopping malls arguably had their kind of apex in America around the early 90s. And at the time they started declining around the late 90s, people started saying, well, this is just because these, you know, darn millennials, they just don't like to buy stuff. They don't want to go shopping. What's wrong with them? They're not consumer oriented. Are they communists? You know, whatever it might be to hate millennials. And obviously, shopping is one thing that took over, that the web took over to some extent. But there were other things that the mall provided that today all come through technology. And so I'll give you kind of my list, and you can tell me if you you think of any others. But first, shopping, obviously, like I mentioned, with something that isn't clothing, it's a no-brainer. I don't need to go somewhere, look at the packaging, decide if I want it, take it up to a counter, pay for it, drive it home, cart it in. I can just hit a button, and it shows up at my door in a few days. And for the majority of things I need, that two-day waiting period, three-day waiting period is just fine. I don't need it immediately.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to stop you there, right there. It's a two-day waiting period or three-day waiting period in the mainland U.S. Those of us in Alaska and Hawaii, we're waiting 2 to 3 weeks for stuff. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, just plan out farther in advance. And even with clothing, which is what dominates modern shopping malls today, are just clothing stores after clothing stores. Yeah. Once you know your preferred brands and the sizing of those brands and how you kind of fit into them, even most clothes can be bought online fairly safely. There are some brands out there that use different production facilities, and so a size runs different depending on style, etc., or color, or something weird like that. But you're going to find that if you go to the store and buy the white t-shirt over the black t-shirt, etc. So that's one thing, obviously, that kind of put a nail in shopping malls' coffins. Socialization. A lot of times in my youth, it was go to the mall just to walk around with friends and talk and catch up. And, you know, we might buy something here and there, but it was really just catching up. And that is something that we can now do very well over a number of social media platforms. Texting, FaceTime, all of those things mean that I don't need to go somewhere. It comes to me pretty much. So that was another aspect that I think kind of hurt shopping malls. They were no longer gathering places. Let's see. Nerding out on media. This is what I hadn't really thought too much about, but where did I learn about some of the coolest stuff that I would enjoy in life? Things like, you know, hobbies and media and all that. It was in bookstores and record stores. And now I can go to YouTube, Wikipedia, IMDb. I can find out all that same information, which I can do from home. So that was one that I hadn't really thought too much about, but the information transmission that you would get by walking through a bookstore, walking through a record store.
Yeah, that's really true. You know, in fact, I was thinking it's not only the information, but it was even going back to something you mentioned a few minutes ago, the socialization part. Bookstores especially, well, that's not true. Even record stores too are very much social centers. So I remember that in our local Barnes & Noble, for example, which is the biggest bookstore within 5 miles of me, there was a little book nook for kids, and there'd be humans reading stories to them. Or, you know, parents could sit, if no storyteller was there, a parent could just sit down their kid in a little comfortable area and read a book out loud to them without even buying it. It was kind of a neat place. You know, people talk and chat, and the employees at the bookstore are very knowledgeable about various different kind of books. If you're looking for something but weren't quite sure what it was. Same with record stores. You know, the record store clerks and things weren't just little sales droids, you know, punching the keys to sell you stuff. If you had a question about music, they were often the first line of defense or, you know, first line of information to give you advice.
Just finding people with similar interests, you know, standing at the same area of the bookstore, looking at the same books. And, oh, have you read this one? Yeah, I've read that one. Oh, what'd you think of it? Have you looked at this one? You know, that's something that today we use reviews on Amazon to get that same information.
Now, John, where you live, which is a very different place from where I live, and are shopping malls dead there or dead-ish?
Pretty much. The nearest shopping mall to me is about 45 miles south.
What?
Yep. It does not have very many stores left. It kind of is way past its heyday. And the best shopping area that I know of is about 2 hours south, and it's an outdoor shopping area, so not enclosed, and it's all generally higher-end or specialty stores. Mm. That's where our Apple store is and a few other things. But we don't really have any good enclosed malls anymore. In fact, the only two good enclosed malls that I've seen in the last 5 years, one is in Danbury, Connecticut, and the other is in Schaumburg, Illinois.
Hmm.
And there's mostly higher-end stuff, but that's at least the interesting stuff, where you've got Microsoft stores, Apple stores, kitchen gadget stores, a little bit of pop culture stuff.
So what? Now I'm really curious. So what is your shopping situation near, let's say, within 10 miles of you? Are they mostly strip malls? Are they mostly individual stores, like grocery stores all by themselves and, CVS all by itself? And how does...
Mostly strip malls.
Strip malls, interesting.
Yeah, there's a standalone CVS, or Walgreens in my case. There is a standalone Walmart, center.
Right.
Everything else is pretty much in a strip mall. There are a couple of standalone stores that were just bigger than a strip mall or more specialized, or just the land was cheap and they decided to buy it and build their own store. But yeah, mostly all strip malls.
Hmm. I can't say I don't really go to the shopping center all that much myself. But when I do go here, they seem to be packed. I mean, really packed. So maybe Hawaii is just behind the times as it normally is. We tend to be tend to trail trends on the mainland U.S. by a couple of years. And in old days, that was just a communications lag, where people would have to come here from the mainland and tell us what was going on. We see stuff on TV, but it wouldn't really catch on. But I think it's still true. It's weird. Even though we have instant communications and things now, I think Hawaii's still sort of a couple of years out of step with the mainland U.S. in terms of trends. So we'll see how that goes. But here, at least, when I do wander around, I do see a lot of kids gathered together in social groups. Often they're playing, cards. I don't even know what kind of cards they are, but those games. Not like poker, but those kind of.
Jeez, darn, I jetted their gambling in public places.
But it's probably not Pokemon cards, but that kind of cards, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
I know there's a, there's like a big sign and a bunch of kids and, it's kind of an organized thing. So it's pretty safe with parents around and things like that. And I see a lot, this is the one that's always, I see a lot of kids in Starbucks, and there are two reasons why that surprised me. I don't know what your parents told you when you were a kid, but my parents told me that, caffeine will stunt your growth. So, we weren't supposed to drink coffee until we were quite old. So I'm really surprised. I see,
that was 12. Just your parents' way of keeping all the coffee for themselves.
I am surprised to see these. I consider them little kids. By little kids, I mean, I think they're like maybe 13, 14, 15 years old drinking coffee in Starbucks.
Well, I'll agree. I do see a lot. I think Starbucks in bigger cities is sort of the replacement for the shopping mall and the food court in the shopping mall. But it's interesting down here. You just don't see a lot of groups congregating together.
Wow. And you don't have a Starbucks, as I recall.
No, unfortunately we do not. We do have a local coffee shop, but it's actually, it skews toward the college and older crowd.
Okay. So. Which is kind of what I would expect, under normals. And plus you are a college town, so that makes sense.
So really the only thing, and I also put that you meet new people through shopping malls, et cetera. Really the only thing that shopping malls provided that we don't have a technology equivalent for is physical activity, walking around. But today, technology has made it so much easier to discuss physical activity and chart your physical activity and make videos about it and all those things, that you could argue that technology has facilitated for a group of people more physical activity than they would have had in the past. It's probably also facilitated a lot of inactivity as well. So I guess my end point is that I don't think malls really died out because shoppers' tastes changed and all of a sudden we didn't want to buy things anymore. It died out because a good chunk of people didn't just go to the mall to shop. They went for the shopping plus something else.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I mean, even though the mall situation here doesn't appear to be dying to me, at least from what I can see, I agree about the whole shift in experience. And I was just thinking, you know, although augmented reality or virtual reality and or virtual reality, like Linux on a desktop, has seems to be, you know, promised to be happen every year and never does. I'm really looking forward to the day when we can have a shared augmented slash virtual experience and maybe get our exercise that way. So, you know, instead of saying, hey, John, let's sit down and record a podcast Sunday morning, I can say, hey, John, let's grab our, you know, our VR slash AR helmets, and I'll meet you at Hyde Park, and we can talk while we walk through Hyde Park, you know, to do our podcast. But that, and I guess you could do that now. I mean, I don't think either of us have any of the high-end VR helmets that would let us do that. But it's an interesting idea, you know, it'd be kind of, it'd be an interesting way to have a shared experience.
Well, I did see something this week that I was very curious about, and I don't know if it's quite prompting me to buy the necessary hardware to do it. Plus, I don't have anyone else to do it with. but I use Plex for my media surveying. I've done that now for about 6 months. And there is a Plex VR experience now where you can put on a VR headset and you can watch a movie with your friends. And, you know, virtually throw popcorn at them and other random things. So the experience is that you're sitting there with your friends watching a movie, except everyone's at their own residence.
Yeah. Yeah. And I should note before we shut down here, since Cesar, you may have noticed that this week, instead of, well, I'm still sniffling and coughing, but I've been trying to mute myself. John is sniffling and coughing. Apparently, we have the first known transmission of a virus through a podcast. I think I gave it to John last week.
I am so glad that we were able to figure that out and document it. I got to tell you, in my life's goals, that was one of my things, was to catch an actual computer bug.
Hey, you know, we may end up in the medical journals.
I hope it didn't infect any of the technology on the way over. Well, any viruses that hit any of your computers, then they spread to mine and then spread to me.
You know, I am running a Mac. I think you are too. So hopefully apparently Macs, by the way, you know, I didn't put this in our rundown, but apparently Macs are not susceptible to Meltdown or Spectre. Is that true? Something about the way Apple implemented their microprocessor?
That's possible. I have not seen anything about it, but I also have not seen a big rush to update Macs for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a topic I wanted to stay with because it's just it started off way too complicated and then got even more complicated. I think Intel released some patches and they turned out to be doing bad things and it's just a mess. Any rate, John, I hope you feel better. I'm feeling better after a week of some rest. I had to stay home from work a couple of days, which is not a lot of fun. And hope you enjoy your Super Bowl Sunday over there, my friend.
I will try. Enjoy yours as well. I'm sure we are both, as the huge football fans that we are, very interested in what'll happen.
Yep. And maybe we'll see some commercials that haven't been displayed yet. All right, folks, that's Mobile Reviews Podcast 240, the Super Bowl edition. We will talk to you next time.